and the soul never dies. I'm on my way to that fair land where the soul never dies, where there will be no parting hand and the soul never dies. No sad farewells, no tear dimmed eyes, where all is love and the soul never dies.
Please be seated. Before Brother Miller brings us a lesson today, I'll be reading from Psalms 107, verse 1 through 9. 107, 1 through 9. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered into wilderness in solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go into the city of habitation. Oh, that man would praise God for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness.
It's good to see you all this morning. Thankful to be here. If you would mark your Bibles to Psalms 107, we'll work there for a while. In fact, there'll be much out of the book of Psalms that we will read today. The sermon title is this. If you look to Psalms 107 while you're there, you see verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, as well as verse 31. Oh, that men would praise God for his goodness, or praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works unto the children of men. And so the sermon title today is this, and that is Praise God for His Goodness. While you're there in Psalms 107, if you look at the first three verses, it seems in their exhortations, as allusions are made to Israel and their wandering, that exhortation is made to Israel after they are redeemed. And then verses 4 all the way to verse 32, we see God's goodness to Israel, and really a dual application to us as well. When you look at verses 4 down to verse 9, we see the allusion to Israel wandering in the desert and going from desert dwelling to city dwelling. And then notice verse 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 9, he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. As you go on, you find in verses 15, verses 10 all the way to verse 16, that he led Israel from bondage to freedom. And in verse 16 again, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 16, for he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. You read on from there, verses 17 all the way to verse 22. And again in verse 21, we read, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And in those verses, we see Israel as a person on their deathbed. They are brought from sickness unto health. And then the admonition then, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 22, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving, declare his works with rejoicing. You go on from there, verses 23 to 32, when we find Israel is moved from storm to calm. And again, Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. As you read on to the end of Psalms 107, we find that Israel's property is restored. They are revived. God's judgment is shown to be in truth and in justice. And in verse 42, the record states, "The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord." So again, we quote verses 8, 15, 21, and 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. When you think about that, I think about Luke chapter 4. Verse 16, we find that Jesus had come into Nazareth. He's in Nazareth. He is in the synagogue, and it is the Sabbath day. To him is delivered the book, and he reads Isaiah. Verse 18, the Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord says," he reads as it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." In that, we need recognize that the redeemed have overwhelming reason to praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Amen, brother. When we look at Acts 26, we think about the work of Paul. He rehearses here as he's before Festus and Agrippa, and he rehearses the things that the Lord had said to him on the road to Damascus, and he says, "I have appeared, behold, rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of those things which thou hast seen and of the things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness unto light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among all them that are sanctified by faith that is in me." Acts 26, verses 16 down to verse 18. "Oh, that men would praise God for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Psalms 107 and verse 8. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, we read of the Father. Verse 13, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." In 2 Timothy 1, in verse 8, we read of the power of God. Verse 9, we read, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Verse 10, and we read, "But is now manifested by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought forth life and immortality to the light through the gospel." 2 Timothy 1, 9 and 10. And then Peter tells us, as you remember, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And so in that, I think on Hebrews 13 and verse 15. "Let us offer up the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Hebrews 13 and verse 15. We find an example of this in Acts 16 and verse 25. Paul, on the second preaching trip, he and Silas find themselves in a Philippian jail. And the Bible says, Acts 16 and verse 25, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God." And so let us give praise unto God, not only in word, but also by our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So we think this morning about praise and praise of God for his goodness. And notice with me that God is glorified when we praise him. If you turn with me to Psalms 147 in verse 1, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. Psalms 147 and verse 1. When we think about the concept of praise, a word that is universally understood comes to mind, and that is hallelujah or alleluia. If you turn your Bibles to Revelation 19 and verse 1, John, having seen the revelation, he says, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. In the King James, the word is spelled A-L-L-E-L-U-I-A, alleluia, or American Standard 1901, it's hallelujah, and that means praise to Jehovah. And that's what we talk about this morning, praise to Jehovah. So we study this morning the concept of praise, and we'll look at some practical truths from the Word of God that will help us to praise God for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. The first point that I'd like to address is this question, and that is, who is to praise God? Who is to praise God? I submit unto you, if we look in places like Hebrews chapter 11, we look into the Old Testament and other places, we would find that individuals like Abel and Noah and Abraham, Sarah also, Moses, David, Solomon, the angels, Mary, Paul, and others, all of these would praise God for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalms 113. Verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord for this time, from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high? Psalms 113, verses 1 to 5. Psalms 32 and verse 11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. So I mentioned individuals like Abel and Noah, Abraham, even Mary, the mother of our Lord. If you turn with me, let us use her as an example. Praise for God and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Luke chapter 1, verse 46. This is Mary as she's gone into the house of Zacharias and Elizabeth. She's already been, all the things of how the Holy Ghost would come upon her have already been made known unto her. And she's now in the house of Elizabeth. And the Bible says, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. And he showeth strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imaginations of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servants Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. Luke chapter 1, 46 down to verse 55. Jesus, when he is parted from his disciples in Luke chapter 24, taken up into heaven, the Bible says, verse 50, and he led them out as far as to Luke 24 and verse 50. He led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. What'd they do then? Verse 52, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. And so, Who is to praise God? All of His servants are to praise Him. Psalms 113 in verse 1, we see example of this in Mary. We see example of this in the disciples of our Lord after He is parted from them. Notice with me, brethren and friends, that the Lord wants our praise. If you turn with me to Psalms 92 in verse 1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praise unto Thy name, O Most High. It's a good thing for us to do so. Psalms chapter 95, turn there if you would. The first six verses. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Down to verse 7, Psalms 95. The one we serve, our Lord the Christ, the record states of Him, He is the blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 15. And so in this, let us rejoice evermore. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. Well, verse 16, and then in verse 17, let us pray without ceasing. And part of that prayer, ought it not be, brethren, praise for the God of our salvation? For we're a chosen generation. Peter says, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Notice with me also, as we think about who is to praise God, that praise is for our benefit. Praise is for our benefit. It puts us in tune with heaven. Revelation 19 and verse 5, praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both great and small. Both small and great. And Psalms 34 and verse 3, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Psalms 150 and verse 6, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So, who is to praise God? All of His servants. The second point that we want to make is this, and that is, what about God are we to praise? We've already touched on that some, but let us dwell there for a minute. What about God are we to praise? How about this? For His wonderful power and His faithfulness. And Psalms 21 and verse 13, be Thou exalted, Lord, in Thine own strength, so will we sing and praise Thy power. Psalms 89 and verse 5, the heavens shall praise Thy wonders, O Lord, Thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. Psalms 89 and verse 5, praise Him for His mighty acts, praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Psalms 150 in verse 2. So we praise Him for His wondrous power, for His faithfulness. We praise Him for His word and for His name. And Psalms 56 in verse 4, in God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Psalms 56 in verse 4. I will freely sacrifice unto Thee. I will praise Thy name, O Lord God, for it is good. Psalms 54 and verse 6. I remember Job, in Job chapter 1. As you read the chapter there, you find that Job, it seems, loses everything that he had. His business, as it were. I guess most all of his servants, except those that came to bring word to him. His sons and his daughters. And in Job 1 and verse 20, the record states of him that Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground to worshiped. And he said, verse 21, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job 1, verses 20 to 22. And so, what about God are we to praise? for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men when God gives and when things are taken away. We should praise God for all that he's done. Praise him for his care in everything. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. A passage that we use to show authorization for music, in particular a cappella music in worship, and by such we indeed praise and can praise God. Doing such we praise God in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Ephesians 5 and verse 19, that is, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart in the Lord. And so we recognize that as once upon a time in the Old and in the Psalms, as we've seen many passages, if you read in other places, you find that praise was offered up by an instrument. But those things have passed away. And under the New Covenant, it is by God's design that praise and music be from the heart strings and not the harp strings. And that is Ephesians 5 and verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And so that's what we do. But as you read on, that's Ephesians 5 and verse 19. Verse 20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And thus we do. What about God are we to praise for his wondrous power, his faithfulness, his word, his name? We praise God for all of his wonderful care. We ought to praise God for life and for health and for strength, for the ability to work, the ability to get up and to get out and to do. And not only that, also to praise God for lessons in humility. One man said, I complained about having to get up early until the day I couldn't get out of my bed. Lessons in humility, you see. Let us, oh, that men would praise God for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Psalms 107 and verse 8. And so, for all of these things, we ought to praise God. The Bible says in Psalms 39 and verse 4, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days. What it is that I may know how frail I am. The psalmist goes on to say, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. We number our days by our daily prayer, by our daily obedience, by our daily acts of love, both toward God and toward our fellow man. We remember Matthew 22 and verse 37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, verse 39. So let us give our hearts to wisdom. Let us seek the things of God now. You know, one day there will be no opportunity to seek. One poet said, improve time in time, while time does last. For all time is no time when time is past. So while we have today, let us do that we know we ought to do. In Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might, for there is no work, neither device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. And yes, that points to the physical man in the grave, because the body is of the hand. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, points to that physical man, the inner man, of course, would be the spiritual man, though our outward man perisheth, our inward man is renewed day by day, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. But in this passage, that is Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, there are also spiritual lessons. Harvest days are busy days. And so let us labor with all our strength. Let us turn from sin and obey God. Let us read his word, pray to do good, and patiently wait for the coming of our Lord Jesus the Christ, his only begotten Son. That's what we ought to be busy doing. How ought we to do these things? Fully convinced, determined to act upon conviction, and to use all our strength. Because the fact is, you know what? All of us one day will pass from this life Hebrews 9 and verse 27 is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. There's no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Jesus says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is yet day. The night cometh when no man can work. And so, what about God are we to praise? His wondrous power, his faithfulness, his word, his name, for all of his care. And lastly, here's maybe the most important, the wonder of salvation. We read of Christ in Ephesians 1 and verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Jesus said in the prayer to the Father, John 17 and verse 3, this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The third question we want to ask this morning is, when are we to praise God? When are we to praise God? You know the answer. The answer to that is continually or always. Psalms 35 and verse 28, my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all day long. Psalms 35, 28. And Psalm 71 and verse 6, by thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Psalms 113 and verse 3. I will extol thee. Extol, by the way, is to praise enthusiastically. David says, I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. So Paul put it this way. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Philippians 4 and verse 4. The Hebrew writer says, let us offer up the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Christians ought to praise God all the time. We ought to be thankful to God and grateful and have a joyous heart in doing so. When? Well, maybe when we realize things as we're driving down the road or we're mowing the lawn or we're taking out the garbage, or even, how about when we're paying our taxes? Amen. Paying our taxes. Amen. Why? Well, nobody likes to pay their taxes. I'm thankful I have the financial ability to do so. Thankful I've got the things that can be taxed. I'm thankful and I can be thankful for the God-ordained helps of this life and the financial blessings that I enjoy. What do you mean, God-ordained helps? Well, Romans chapter 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. There's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Talking about civil authority. They're ordained of God. Not a particular man, not a particular government, but civil authority ordained of God. Well, maybe because, or so, we can live a quiet and peaceable life in his service. I believe that'd be 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1 and 2. But as you think about this, Romans chapter 13 and verse 4, the end of the verse there, he is a minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon them that doeth evil. As you read down, for this cause pay you tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. You know, if we want to have the firemen come when our place catches on fire, then we need to pay some taxes to have those people to be able to do those things, or the police, or public schools, or national defense. We've got taxes to pay. We don't want to have to pay too much, but we want to pay our fair share. We can be thankful even in that and praise God for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. And so, Romans 13, that was the end of verse 4. Verse 6, then in verse 7, render therefore to all their due. Tribute to whom tribute, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And so in that means sacrifice. Not just when things are going well, but also when they're not going so well. David says, I will bless the Lord at all times, praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalms 34 and verse 1. And remember Job. Remember he says, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. If you turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. How about the Apostle Paul? And thinking about his lot, whether it be good or whether it be one of distress. He says in verse 11, he says, "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth me." Philippians 4, verses 11 to verse 13. He says in Galatians 2 and verse 20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." God wants heartfelt praise, and heartfelt praise glorifies God. If you look at Psalms 50 and verse 22, "Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me." What? God says, "Whosoever offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright, I will show the salvation of God." Psalms 50 and verse 22. So when are we to praise God? Certainly in worship and in prayer, by our life, day by day, hour by hour. Here's a thought that I recognized in a young man the other day. Actually, it wasn't just the other day. It's been for a while now. But what about, have you ever been, now, if you're sitting now as a family to partake of a meal, then we'll pray collectively. I'll offer a prayer, or Caleb or Tant might offer a prayer of thanksgiving for the meal. But often it's not, well, that's what we, our purpose to do. So we do that in the morning, and we do that at night. And we're, if we're away at work, we don't have lunch together, one with another. But sometimes also it be that everybody's in a rush and we're eating at different stages. Tori makes the breakfast and she's ready to eat. So she sits down, and then maybe I sit down, then Caleb, or vice versa, or so to speak. But we, each of us, when we sit down, give thanks. Have you thought about this? When that person that sits down to eat after you or before you, have you thought about pausing what you're doing and just stopping for a moment? Because they're offering praise to God and thanksgiving to God. And I submit unto you that by pausing, Caleb Miller, good for you, but by pausing, we are praising God. We're showing respect for those that would praise God, and we in turn then ourselves praise God. We do that for the flag, don't we? We'll stop to say the pledge to the flag. We'll take our hat off. We'll put our hand over our heart. What about when someone else is praying? And so, when should we praise God? Obviously, continually and always, in all of our thoughts and all of our actions. The fourth thing that we want to look at is this, and that is, how should we praise God? Well, we praise God, and we should praise God in word. Psalm 63, verses 5 and 6. "My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches." When God comes to mind, guess what is always fitting, what is always appropriate? Thanksgiving and praise for the God of heaven and earth. In Psalm 66 and verse 8, "Bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard." Psalms 145 and verse 21, "My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever." So we praise him in word, we praise him in humility. We praise him in humility. You know, all that we have comes from him. If we turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 17, there Paul preaches to those on Mars Hill, the idolaters. They worshiped, they had idols to all different kind of gods. They had an idol even to the unknown God. He says, "As I passed by and beheld your devotions, I came to an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." And as he is declaring unto them the one true God, the God that made heaven and earth, he says of this God, who is the true God, "He giveth to all life and breath and all things." That's you and me too. "He giveth to all life and breath and all things." Acts 17 and verse 25. Verse 28, "In him we live and move and have our very being." And Acts chapter 27 now, the Apostle Paul, speaking of God, acknowledging God, he says, whose I am and whom I serve. That was in Paul's life at all times, in his thoughts and in his actions. He was God's, and him did he serve. So we praise God in word. We praise him with humility. And you know what? We can make requests of God, can't we? Not that we're his equal, but we recognize him as our provider. The Bible says in 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Paul says, be careful for nothing, but in all things with prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4 and verse 6. You know, in any language, blessing can be with the word hallelujah. Oh, that men would praise God for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. As you read the book of Psalms, you come to the last five books. The last five books, they all, the first words and the last words are, praise ye the Lord. The last five books, praise ye the Lord. Wouldn't it be good if for me and for you, every day began with, praise ye the Lord. And every day ended with, praise ye the Lord. If you turn your Bibles to Psalms 107 again, verses 21 and 22, oh, that wit men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Day by day, hour by hour, year by year, those things ought to be in our thoughts and in our minds. But think about this for a minute with me. If we focus on praising God and being thankful to God, how does that prepare our minds and our hearts? And therefore our actions, as opposed to negative and gloomy thoughts. Doesn't that discourage and tear down both we ourselves and others that hear us talk that way? But rather, if we think about thanksgiving, we think about praise, that then genders positive thinking and therefore positive action. Positive action. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, Jesus says, Matthew 12 and verse 34. And so therefore we think to Psalms in the first verses of the book. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law doth he meditate both day and night. Praise God, you see. Psalms 119, verses 15 and 16, the psalmist says, I will meditate upon thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. And then New Testament teaching, Colossians 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And you remember what Paul wrote to Timothy? He says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:13 and verse 16, he says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And so a fifth thing that we want to look at, and it will be done. Where should we praise God? Well, certainly we ought to do that privately. Psalms 146, 1 and 2. Praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto the God, unto my God, while I have any being. We can do that privately. We can also do that publicly, you see. Psalms 22 and verse 22. I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation. I will praise thee. Psalms 35 and verse 18. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. Psalms 57 and verse 9. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12, a quote, by the way, of Psalms 22 and verse 22. In the midst of the church, I will sing praise unto thee. And so go back to Colossians 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. We recognize that needs to be done decently and in order. If we look at the principles, by the way, borrow the principles of 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. But praise and thanksgiving to God is always appropriate. And by the way, I submit unto you that praise does not drive people away, but rather attracts the righteous people to other righteous people, as they see that indeed these people are respectful of God's principles and thankful, and see that God indeed is worthy of praise. If you look to Acts chapter 2, verse 46, the Bible says they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Verse 47 of Acts 2, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And so in conclusion, praise the Lord everywhere and anywhere is beautiful. It is in harmonious with heaven, and it is pleasing to God. The psalmist says, thou art holy, The psalmist says, thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praise of Israel. And certainly he does. Notice that God wants us to praise him. Praise is spiritually healthy. It prompts sound living. It prompts promotes thanksgiving. The Hebrew writer says, let us offer up the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And so, question for you. As we are here this morning to worship God, can you praise God for your salvation? Can you praise God for your salvation? Jesus sent forth his disciples in Mark 16 and verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that gospel that they would preach would be concerning Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Paul outlines this for the Corinthians as he writes to them in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which also I preached unto you, which also you received, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. He says, by which also you're saved. Can you praise God for your salvation? Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, we read of the Christ who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Has the blood of Christ washed you from your sins? Can you praise God for your salvation? One named Ananias came to one called Saul of Tarsus. This individual had been praying. The Lord had spoken to him. He was in Damascus there 3 days praying. He hadn't eaten or drank anything. And when Ananias came to him, he says, among other things, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Can you praise God for your salvation? I can. Jesus says, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. John 8 and verse 24. He says, verily I say unto you, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Luke 13 and verse 3. And Jesus says, whosoever will confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Whosoever will deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. David says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Obey the Lord this morning and show your praise for him. We sing a song for your encouragement. We bid you come while we stand, while we sing.
And so why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation? Oh, prepare to meet thy God. And careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment, unprepared to meet thy God. Why why so thoughtless are you standing while the fleeting years go by and your life is spent in folly? Oh, prepare to meet thy God. Care a soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment, unprepared to meet thy God. If you spurn the invitation till the Spirit shall depart, then you'll see your sad condition, unprepared to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment, unprepared to meet thy God.
One other announcement, Josh Crowder and his family have been absent the last two Sundays, and that's because of Walter. Walter was born with a little lung problem, and I understand that when he reaches a certain age that this will go away, but right now it's sort of a problem. That's the reason why they keep him at home. And that's the only announcement I have. Is there anyone else?
There's a little bit of rain and sleet right now, so be careful. I went out in the parking lot just a second ago. It's not frozen, but it's wet, and there's a little bit of sleet mixed in.
Y'all better stay in tonight.
You gonna bring us some lunch?
We'll talk about it. There's no other announcements. We're going to be dismissed with a word of prayer.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity we've had to come here this morning to worship thee. We pray that everything we've done has been in accordance to thy will. Heavenly Father, we ask that those that were not able to be here, whether for physical or spiritual reasons, that they would be given strength, that they might be returned to us at the next opportunity they have. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the sacrifice of thy Son, that through him we have the hope of heaven, if we will do thy will. We ask thee to go with us as we depart this place, bring us back at the next point in time, without the loss of one, if it be thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
There'd be giving going on.
Yeah, you do the same.
I'm going to go to the next one.